Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Beautiful afternoon here in lovely Lapeer. Absolutely perfect afternoon, and the Tigers are still only a game and a half out of the wild card race.
It's beautiful.
Loving it. Loving every bit of that. Like, I am seriously tempted right now to do something I've not ever actually done, and if I can figure out how to actually make it happen, to bet on the Tigers to make the playoffs this year, because I'm feeling pretty confident in this at this point. Like, there's no logical reason why it should have happened, why anything this team does should be working at this point in time, but somehow it is. I mean, you're talking a team that was running out three bullpen games a week and somehow winning them, and that Casey Mize has somehow figured out how to hit again.
Yep.
Parker Meadows just, like, comes in the clutch at the best possible time. So does Colt Keith, apparently. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to any of it. Like, yeah, chalk this up to, like, some, like, the universe just setting itself right for having denied the Red Wings a playoff appearance this year. That's what I'm going with.
I mean, we've seen this in sports many times, and this is the exciting part of sports, where you see a team kind of at the basement. You don't expect them to do jack squat in the beginning of the season, but then they catch fire. We saw this with the St. Louis Blues back in 2019. They were dead last in their division in January, came back as a low seed, end up winning the Stanley Cup.
Like, these things do occasionally happen. It seems like more so in hockey than anywhere else. I'm not going to say I think the Tigers are beating much anybody in the playoffs, but anything can happen once you get there.
Yeah.
And I would just like to get there at this point.
Because in the first round, it's a best of five, isn't it?
That it is. You know, I believe so. That sounds right.
I mean, first round, not the wild. Well, the wild card is just a play-in game, isn't it?
No.
See how much I don't know about baseball playoffs, because we just haven't been there.
It's been so long since it's been a thing. We all kind of forgot just how it worked, because we haven't had to care. We haven't had a reason to care.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how that has been. So at present, so there's six teams per league that make the playoffs. The wild card round is a best of three.
Okay. The wild card. That's okay. I think the way they've been trucking, they stand a chance pretty much against anybody in the league, because, I mean, everything's clicking for them at the right time. Will the team playing somebody of consequence in the first round break their confidence and knock them out? Who's to say? But let's try it and find out.
Well, that depends, because if I remember right, the team that is currently in, depending on who's in first place, because the way it's seeded, with the division winners being 1, 2, and 3 in that order of whoever is, you know, tops in their division at the moment. If we have to face the Yankees, that's who it would be right now. If you just end up in that sixth spot, your odds, I don't like them so much. Now, if you manage to leapfrog KC as well, move into the five spot, then you're taking on Cleveland. I feel like I like your odds a lot better against the Guardians than I do against them. But also keep in mind, Baltimore is only 4 games back from the Yankees in the AL East. You just took 2 out of 3 from them. If the Yankees just collapse and the O's win all the games that they don't play against the Tigers for the rest of this year, you could potentially face them, and that doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world to me.
No.
So, I mean, there's ways forward here. Like, they're not all the best options, but there is still a possibility, very much so right now, that you could, in fact, draw a surprisingly favorable matchup in the postseason. But first things first, you got to get there, and that starts again tonight, as both the Tigers and Twins are in action. Twins against Cleveland for the third of their 4-game set, and Tigers, of course, finishing off their series with the Royals. Also, of another fun note, Chicago is now up to loss 116.
Ooh.
5 losses away from immortality. 5 more losses and they tie the all-time record. 5 more losses and they own the modern era record for most losses in a year. And there's something just so sweet about that.
You know, my mom's husband, yes, he's my stepdad. I should call him stepdad, but he's a White Sox fan. Sorry. But he's been awfully quiet this season.
Gee, can't imagine why that would be.
No idea. Yeah, he likes the White Sox and he likes the Fighting Irish.
Exactly. Wait, what?
Yep. He likes Notre Dame.
Ugh. Like, I'm liking this guy less and less already, dude. A White Sox fan who happens to be a Notre Dame fan, too? Yeah. Where do these...
He's a good guy in the room. He really is.
I'm sure he is, but that I cannot abide. I'm sorry. Either way, Tigers have the chance to close within a half a game tonight. We'll see if they can pull it off. A lot of other stuff to get to today. Of course, I know what you're going to want to talk about next.
Yes.
And we'll get to it next. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Odds at your local alternative Solid State Radio. I've made you wait long enough. I know that this has been a very trying time for you.
It has.
Being able to fully discuss hockey to your fullest extent. How dare I deny you this even a second longer?
Well, it's the off
season. As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Yes, the news finally came down that we were waiting with bated breath. Lucas Raymond re-signs with the Red Wings. And I'm going to be honest with you, now that the deal's done, I was nervous. I was really thinking that he was going to push as far as he could and he was going to go to Vegas or something like that. We would get a compensatory deal. But
wouldn't the Red Wings have a right to match?
They'd have a right to match, but Yzerman is not going to overvalue a player. He's not a Kenny Holland.
He's not, but he's also not going to be stupid enough to let a young franchise player just walk like before the prime of his career.
Well, yeah, he had a really good season last year. He signs on. He re-ups with the team. Eight-year deal, like what, 8.025 or something. It's just over $8 million cap hit for 8 years. Got the length that we wanted, got the money he wanted, and Yzerman is pretty smart because we have seen the trajectory of salaries going up and up and up. We know, like, you know, now they're talking like $11 million deals, $12 million a year. Who knows what's going to be happening in 20...
You might get a $15 million player at one point, as the rest of every other sports league in this country just laughs uncontrollably.
Yeah, I know. This is kind of funny when a kicker's making like $30 million a year. I just kicked a ball. That was a $5 million ball that just went through there. Somebody can keep it. I don't care. But, I mean, what are prices going to look like in 2032? I shudder to think about it. And I'll get to that in a second. I'm already leapfrogging myself here.
As you do.
I'm very happy with that. Jonathan Berggren, Johnny Burgers, he re-signs a deal, a one-year prove-it kind of a show-it-don't-blow-it kind of deal.
Sure.
It's like $825,000, which is odd because I didn't think he was going to – I thought he was walking. I thought he was out of there.
I think a lot of people did.
I think at one point he's like, yeah, I'm not resigning. I'm going to try my hand at free agent or I'm going to go play overseas or whatever.
Well,
probably didn't get a whole lot of looks, so he's like, well, okay, well.
Well, at one point, yeah, it seemed like, what does this guy have to do to get a call-up? Mm-hmm. There was a long time where he was just buried in Grand Rapids. They wanted seemingly nothing to do with him. It almost seemed like they'd written him off.
Yep.
And then finally they did call him up for enough games this season that to no longer have that option. They no longer could just put him down to Grand Rapids without having to clear waivers.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, we'll see now because now David Perron's not there. You don't have some of the bigger names with you anymore. So you're going to have to fill that roster. So there's probably more of a chance of seeing a Jonathan Berggren and giving him an actual opportunity to prove what he can do. Back to Raymond, though, eight years. Now, this kind of goes against what I've always said. I've never been a big fan of these long-term deals because it seems like if it's such a long-term deal, it seems like it takes the fight out of the player. Rarely do you finish up with an eight-year, nine-year deal where you as a fan are like, boy, I'm glad I enjoyed every year that player was here. Usually it's, oh, finally, that guy's off the books.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply when you're signing a long-term contract with a dude who's 22 years old.
Yes, but I mean...
Because he's still got to play at some point like he's going to get another contract because presumably he's not going to be done playing at 30.
I would hope not. I mean, he'll still be in his prime at 30 years old. So let's see. Let's see what happens. Exactly. But I mean, at 22 years old, he's probably also. I know how I was at 22. He's like, oh, I've got an 8-year deal. I guess I don't need to try as hard.
Well, yeah, but you're not a professional hockey player making multi-millions of dollars.
Because I didn't try hard. Thank you for bringing that up. Thanks for opening up that wound. No,
because you've never been able to get on skates.
not since being cut. but so these deals we talked about, we mentioned it, these deals, these prices are going up and up and up and up, and like they just signed, you know, Sidney Crosby to an $8.7 million. You get it? 887.
Ha.
I mean, they signed. Was it
for how long?
I don't know.
Oh, here I go asking Adam questions.
I know it's a year, 8.7 a year, which that's pretty good for a player like Sidney Crosby. Even if a lot of people say he's on the decline, hey, I'll take Sidney Crosby now.
I'll take Sidney Crosby now over a lot of guys in their prime.
Yep. Here's a guy I really want to hate. I can't.
I can still hate him. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Knowing that he's never going to play for the Red Wings.
But do you see the money that the Maple Leafs are throwing around with, you know, who they just re-signed? Was it Nylander or big old deals. $11 million a year, $12 million a year. Dreisaitl just signed on with a big deal.
Toronto, I don't know where they're coming up with this money from.
I don't know. Well, you know what it is? And
it's just proof that the salary cap isn't real.
Well, here, I'm getting to my point finally. I know I'm taking a long way to get there.
I was wondering if you were going to get there.
It's a long way to go in a short time. They know, meaning the owners, they know the CBA is up soon. And they're going to be the same ones who are going to be sitting there with their hat in their hand saying, we can't afford all these big salaries. I don't know what we're going to do. All the prices for these players have just gone up and up and up. And we just can't afford it. Us billionaires, we just need some help. We need players to roll back their salaries a bit.
Which is going to go over like a lead balloon.
It went over like a lead balloon in 2005, but they got what they wanted. I mean, the NHL was in worse shape than it is now, but still, I mean, you're still number four in all the four major sports. So they're going to come up there and, you know, Bettman's going to be like, yeah, you're right, absolutely. And the player's going to be like, wait a minute, this deal was a two-sided deal. You had to agree to it. You agreed to all these big prices. Yeah, we want to get paid. That's kind of the way capitalism works.
Traditionally, yes.
You signed this deal, and now you want to renege on it. And it's bad. I just know what's going to happen. It's going to end up another lockout. We're going to see another lockout. I don't know when this CBA is over. I think it's in 2026.
God, I hope you're wrong about that.
I mean, I think they're still, the NHLPA is still complaining to the NHL about escrow. There's profit sharing still in the mix with like television contracts and stuff like that. Younger players are getting hosed, and it's just enjoy hockey while you can, because I think the next two seasons may be the last, and then, you know,
it expires September 15th, 2026.
Yep. And so 2 years from now, mark it on your calendar, we'll be like, well, I guess there won't be any hockey for, well, this will only last a week or so, and then, you know, somebody will blink and they'll figure something out. Absolutely. And then
there's no way they could be that stupid again, right?
Yeah, 3 years from now we'll be like, man, kind of sucked not having hockey last year. But this year they'll do it.
And there's absolutely no way that could, I mean, that the first couple lockouts damn near killed the sport. I mean,
they did. Yeah, you lost an entire season.
And that, I mean, that's around the point that you got bumped to, you know, a like six-tier sports network for your national deal. Like, the outdoor channel, that's the best we can do. Sorry, folks.
In between episodes of deer hunting shows, you watch hockey.
That's pretty much all you get. Just nothing but, you know, duck hunting, deer hunting, and the occasional NHL game. That's our marquee deal.
That's right.
That's seriously, like, it really coincided with a fall from grace of sorts for the NHL. Like, it officially established you as fourth in a four-league race in this country.
Right.
And you're making strides towards working back from that now, and a lockout would basically kill all the progress you've made.
Well, I mean, let's look at the four major sports. MLB went through a lockout in 94. That nearly killed baseball. You've never seen it happen in the NBA. You've never seen it in the NFL. And yet, there was a
lockout at one point in the NFL.
Oh, the replacements.
There was that too. That's right. Yep. I forgot about that.
But I mean, not like the NHL. Where have they had a contract CBA signing that didn't include some sort of lockout? Because I remember there was one in 96, and then 2004, 2005, where we lost the entire 2005 that whole season. Then you had a partial lockout in 2012.
Yeah, Pettman's done such a great job. Can you tell three different shutdowns over the course of his tenure?
Well, I mean, there has been some a lot of good things happening to the sport. I mean, you bring in a successful franchise like the Vegas Golden Knights, Seattle Kraken. You've seen a lot of great things happen during Bettman's tenure, but he's too shrewd. He doesn't mind losing games, losing an entire season, if it means the owners, which is basically his bosses, make money.
Exactly. I mean, that's unfortunate that that's the way it is, but
it's the owners.
You're not wrong.
It's the owners. It's the Chris Illiches. It's the whoever's, yeah. Whoever else's, who are telling their GMs, yeah, absolutely. Sign that guy to an $11 million deal because I know I'm not paying it. They know they're not paying it. It's crock.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it by any means.
No.
And looking at the NFL, they haven't had a work stoppage that actually delayed or disrupted games since 87.
Yep.
And they're like the biggest sport in the nation now. The NBA had one that delayed the start of 2011, but I don't know if they've ever had one that they've never had one that canceled an entire season. They did have one that did about a half one that canceled the All-Star game essentially too. But that also hasn't happened since 99. Like you can't have a full-on work stoppage again in the NHL. That'll decimate the sport. In the MLB's case, you got lucky that you had the home run race not long after that.
Yeah, that brought it back.
That brought that whole sport back. Everyone's just hitting dingers every night.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, maybe we should have just let the whole steroid thing be.
Exactly. It was like, GHB? I don't, never heard of it.
Sports were so much better back then when guys could just dope legally. Anyway, here's Papa Roach at Solid State Radio. Duncan Cheeky, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. So what have you heard on the most cider front? We didn't really we didn't touch on that last segment.
No, there really wasn't anything to say. Of course, you know, if this show's history proves anything, as soon as we sign off, they'll announce something.
Every single time.
According to MLive, they're not terribly far apart on a deal with Mort Sider. So I guess we'll have to see what happens. Eiserman said on Tuesday that the club and defenseman Mort Sider aren't far apart on contract as talks continue. I'm hopeful we can get a deal done at some point. Obviously, sooner than later would be better for both parties. I don't think we're terribly far apart. Hopefully, we can progress to getting him here as soon as possible.
Okay, so he's not at training camp at this point.
Might want to get on that, yeah. I'm reading that from MLive, by the way, if I should cite my sources.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Speaking of training camp, apparently there's a little scuffle, little kerfuffle between Alex DeBrincat and Elmer Soderblom. That apparently there was some work going on in the corners, and one tackled the other. And I don't know. I mean, that wouldn't be kind of funny to see, considering like DeBrincat is like 5'8" and Soderblom's like 8'5" or something like that. I mean,
it's something ridiculous of that sort.
I think he's like one of those 6'5"s. And so that had to been a mismatch. But, yeah, tempers are flaring, which good. I mean, I don't want to see the players fighting each other. Save that for the other team. But it's good to see that they've got some fire in their belly.
I say, should I be concerned about this? No. As the resident hockey elite, should I be concerned about this?
No. I think that's going to smooth. Well, this was it? Old Newsy, he said there was going to be punishment doled out for both players for getting out. What are you going to do? You know,
I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, Soderblom, if he finds himself on the roster, That's going to be one thing. But you know DeBrincat's going to be there. You know he's going to be on the first line unless he proves otherwise.
Yeah, that's. I would expect that that's going to be the case because you don't have. I mean, you admittedly don't have a lot of options really. That well,
I mean, Tarasenko, I'd like to see what he can do. I mean, I think he's a centerman.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, we need somebody to fill the hole that was vacated by David Perron. I'm going to miss him. I was really kind of hoping they were going to piece something together, but no, he's playing for Ottawa or, yeah, I think it's Ottawa, which is terrible. Don't like it seeing him in our same division.
What's with Ottawa taking all our cast-offs, man?
And we're taking theirs, apparently. We're just trading. I mean, DeBrincat, remember he came over from
Ottawa, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
For, who's that cat?
Kubalik,
Dominic Kubalik, and he just signed on with a Swedish team.
I can't believe that dude can't get another shot in this.
I am very shocked. Something must be going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. You're trying to tell me that none of these teams want to take a flyer on the cat?
How could they not? We've seen the talent he possesses.
Yeah.
I mean, he had quite the resurgence with the Wings his last season here.
Yep.
I would have liked to have seen what you could have built on that, but unfortunately... That's the price of doing business.
He's going overseas. Philip Zadina, he's going overseas.
That's not a shock. He'll fill some obscure Czech league team's net with pucks,
some
I guess.
Some beer league team with pucks. Yeah, yeah. He was a bust. Wasn't he Kenny Holland's last draft pick?
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
That what a disaster that turned out to be.
Yeah, that did not pan out well. He was a hot dog. He was a little too show buddy. Go out there, just do your job, and stop worrying about, you know, give me ice time because I deserve it. Why do you deserve it? Well, because I was drafted so high, so.
I'm fine with showboating, but you got to be able to back it up. That's all I require.
Yeah.
You can be as showboating as you want. As long as you can back it up with your play, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know, because that's one of the reasons why Jake Walman is no longer with the team. There's a lot of insiders are saying the Wings were fed up with his antics. They're fed up with the gritty and, you know, act like you scored before. And I'm like,
who doesn't love the gritty? Other than like Don Cherry and other like 1,000-year-old men.
Well, I think Jake Walman's a Canadian, so he should have no problem with it. But I mean, when you score, you're a defenseman and you score in overtime, gritty it out, man. Have a good time with it.
I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. I don't know why that became such a thing.
The NHL, they really don't like individuality. They really don't.
And that's why theirs is the least marketable sport of the big four.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. Baseball's got a challenge for that, I suppose.
Yeah, but they at least have personalities. You know, you talk to them, you interview them, you're getting a good interview. Interviewing a hockey player, if you can understand them.
Well, not even that. I mean... there's not a whole that much personality in MLB that's been effectively marketed either. I mean, it exists, but they've never figured out how to capitalize on a lot of it. Yeah. But no, hockey players, like, no offense, are the most boring of any professional sport.
We just got to give it 110%. Leave it on the ice. They're always sniffling, right? No, we got to leave it on the ice and play deep in the corners and try to get a W.
There's very few exceptions to that. We came across the one, obviously, but there's by and large. You don't get a lot of great quotes. Now, some of the coaches, on the other hand, looking at you, Torts.
Oh, he's awesome.
That's a quote machine, man. Oh, yeah. Here's Weezer at Solid State Radio. Jane's Addiction at your local alternative Solid State Radio.
Jane's Addiction, no kidding.
Have you been following that whole saga?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some of the footage where
Perry Farrell just goes and like starts shoving at Dave Navarro.
He can't hear himself. Apparently, he's had problems with his voice and he can't hear himself. So he takes it out on Navarro,
who's just taking it. He's not even doing anything or fighting back or anything. He's just kind of backing off.
Yep.
Doesn't do anything, and then the bass player jumps in and starts and gets Perry Farrell in a headlock and starts punching him.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
That part just seems to conveniently get cut out of everything, where Eric Avery comes over there and just gives him hell.
So Jane, the other three members of Jane's Addiction, they put out a statement saying, "We just can't deal with this guy." I'm paraphrasing. We just can't deal with this guy anymore. He's got to get himself some help. We're out of here. Sorry, tour's canceled. And then he takes on there and he says, "Yeah, I've got an issue I got to deal with. Apologies to my my band, my
drank
fans.
Drank a whole bottle of wine, apparently, on stage that night. Which I'm sure had nothing to do with his behavior
I've
whatsoever.
Drank a bottle of wine and not try to fight anybody.
You just turned to a whiny bitch.
No pun intended, whiny. No. He just went off and... Oh, yeah, and everybody's like, oh, it's good to see Jane's Addiction giving us a little taste of what the Oasis tour is going to look like.
Right? The thing is, like, with Jane's Addiction, though, like, this has always been a thing. They've never gotten along. They were, like, at the peak of, like, their popularity and starting to blow up when they broke up the first time. And since then, until I think this tour, the bass player has never, like, every time they've gotten back together, it's always been, like, Flea or like the bass player from the Smashing Pumpkins or something. Like, there's always been someone different in that spot instead of actual Eric Avery. And then even when just Dave and their drummer and Perry got back together,
yeah,
it would only last for like an album and maybe the subsequent tour and then break up again. Every single time. Because only apparently Stephen Perkins is the only guy that can get along with Perry Farrell in that band. We should have seen this coming from a mile away.
Oh yeah, I think we all did. We're just with bated breath. We're like, they're supposed to be coming.
They're supposed to be here like this Saturday. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. They're supposed to be here, I believe, Friday. Which, if you're looking to go see Love and Rockets, you're probably really just pissed right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, great, that got canceled because the guy in the other band couldn't just shut the hell up for 5 seconds and not be a douche.
Yep. I mean, instead of, you know, talking to your sound people, you're going to take it out on the guitar player.
Because, yeah, it's all his fault, clearly.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, it's an irrational person that's just, you know, deal with it right then and there in front of everybody.
Because that's always a good idea.
Yeah.
Works every time.
Yep. I mean, at least with Poison, when they broke up that first time, you know, they waited until after the performance to beat the living daylights out of each other.
Right? Damn it, our rock stars had standards back in my day.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, oh, Poison, they dress like girls, they're a bunch of wusses, and they're just pummeling each other. Like, they don't realize that, you know, the drummer is like a jiu-jitsu black belt.
Yeah, they don't realize that these guys don't mess around. Like, you got to be pretty tough if you're going around dressed up like chicks, right? Because you know wrong. You have to back that up every so often.
You're not wrong. And the last thing you want to do is make fun of somebody who's dressed like a chick and then have them beat your ass.
That's not a good look for anybody.
What happened to your teeth, Bob? Oh, it was this guy. He was like 6'2", football player, manly man. He whooped me hard.
The manliest man that ever met.
Yeah, so no, where'd you get that lipstick?
Don't ask.
Oh, yeah.
It's happy hour at Solid City Radio. Stick around. Speaking of bands that can't get along, can't get back together, what have you, there's the Smiths at your local alternative Solid City Radio. Did you see the latest with this now? Apparently, there's another fight going on.
Last time I heard, Morrissey was hitting around that there was going to be a tour or a reunion, and the guitar player shot it down.
Yeah, apparently that was that's the claim that Morrissey is making, which is, as if there's any one thing we've learned over the years, it's not to take Morrissey's words at face value. Like, that's never necessarily the way to go about things. So as you remember, he had talked about there being a reunion offer on the table for some like $100 million.
I'm sorry. Is money an issue anymore? Is it a real thing? $100 million for the Smiths.
There's probably people that would pay, especially over in Britain, I imagine.
Okay.
That would sell out.
Yeah, you got a point there. Okay, so Europe probably.
Maybe a little less so here. But he claimed Marr ignored an offer for a 2025 tour. He then claimed that Marr blocked a potential greatest hits album as well.
Wow. If you're going to wave $100 million under my nose, I would patch things up with anybody.
You would think that. Well, I mean, those two did not get along, and Morrissey hasn't made it easy by being very Morrissey since then. He's kind of like gone off the deep end in a lot of ways.
Oh, let's do
that. Then there's another post from the man himself today about how apparently Johnny Marr successfully applied for trademark rights and ownership of the intellectual property of the name The Smiths. This action was done without any consultation to Morrissey and without allowing Morrissey the standard opportunity of objection, said Morrissey, talking about himself in the third person.
The third person talk. Oh, God.
Because that's just what he does.
All right. What's that guitar player's name?
Johnny Marr.
Marr. Okay, Marr, I think I'm starting to side with you, bud.
Right. Amongst many other things, this means Marr can now tour as the Smiths using the vocalist of his choice, and it also prohibits Morrissey from using the name, whilst also denying Morrissey considerable financial livelihood.
Oh, yeah. Skid Row is just going, that's a great idea, bud. Do it. What's the worst that can happen?
So here's the fantastic part. After Morrissey put out that nice little third person statement, Johnny Marr reached out saying that A, he reached out to Morrissey and his representatives to work together in protecting the name because it wasn't trademarked at all, and you don't want someone else getting a hold of the name and selling all a bunch of otherwise unauthorized merch and whatnot. He sent over the paperwork, and Morrissey has continued to ignore it, instead continuing to do this poor me nonsense that he does so well. As far as the compilation album, he said, yeah, I did decline that, given the number of greatest hits records we already have in existence.
They just have How Soon Is Now, and that's it. Of course, I'm being glib, but...
But only slightly.
Yeah.
And then about the reunion tour, he says, I didn't ignore the offer. I said no.
Hi, would you like? No. All right. Well, okay. Well, when you get this message, no. Well, call me back. This isn't a recording, idiot. I'm telling you no. Okay. Well, anyway, if you could just let them know that the offer's on the table, talk to you later. Yeah, it was weird. I got his answer machine.
Craziest thing, man.
Wait a minute, he's calling back. I said no, damn it.
What part of no don't you get?
Hey, Morrissey, tell Morrissey I said no.
He's so easy to make fun of on so many levels. Oh, yeah. He really is. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I love that for him. It's never going to happen. Like, there's not going to be a reunion. I mean, at this point, all of the three principals of the band that are still alive hate each other.
Yeah.
Morrissey and Marr hate each other. They both hate Mike Joyce, and Mike Joyce hates them because he tried to sue them years ago because the two, you know, Morrissey and Marr basically decided they were going to take all of the royalties from the music and give him and Andy Rourke like 10% each. Like, no, I was a quarter of this band too. Screw you.
Yeah.
So it took him to court, and they were both mad about that. And then he and the bass player, before he died, were going to go on tour playing a bunch of their classic stuff. And then ultimately, Rourke distanced himself from that project before he ended up dying. And neither of the other two principals were happy about that. So, like, none of these three people want to be in the same room with each other ever again.
Wow.
That's pretty evident. And at no point has Johnny Marr expressed any interest in touring as the Smiths with a new singer. Like, he's doing his solo shows right now. In fact, he's got one coming up in November at, I believe, St. Andrew's Hall with the band James.
Oh, cool.
Which I don't remember what day that's on, but honestly, that's I wouldn't turn down going to that show, man.
Everybody's getting laid.
Ha! What you did there.
Yeah, you like that?
It was awful.
Yeah.
And Morrissey's too busy canceling his solo shows anyway. He's supposed to be at the Capitol Theater next month. You think it's actually going to happen?
I don't know. What's the odds on Vegas? Because, I mean, I'm sure...
I would bet money right now that show's never going to happen. He is going to smell Sweetwater wings from across the street. Like, I can't go on with this show.
All I'm thinking is those poor chickens without any wings. Clucking around without any wings.
Like, that's... He's a one whiff of that, like, that's it. Tour's canceled. No more.
Yeah. I can't play a gig in a town that has a McDonald's.
I don't know if the Capitol Theater actually serves food or if the bar next to him does, but I imagine that there's going to be a very much a fight about that if there is, because he seriously is the guy who cancels. There's someone who's not selling vegan food in this venue. We're done.
I don't know how long ago. I want to say this was like 20 years ago, but Neil Young went on a tour. It was just him on a chair playing acoustic guitar. I'm sure politics didn't enter into the show at all.
In no way, shape,
and
or form.
So he was going.
He would never do that.
Only going to venues that didn't sell alcohol. He was like, you can't sell alcohol on my show. And then he promptly gets to the stage with a cooler, cooler of beer.
What?
Yeah.
First off, like, no offense to Neil Young, but I'm not sitting through an entire concert sober.
I'm not sitting through a Neil Young concert sober. He's as liberal as I am. That punk can shut up.
You leave me and my drinking problem alone, yeah. Goddamn it.
Yeah, he's like, so anyway, yeah, Harvest Moon, yeah, it was a great thing. Oh, yeah, you're not drinking, are you? Okay, good. Okay, anyway, yeah, Harvest Moon. Anyway, who's a current? George W. I hate George W. Yeah, I'm from Canada. I don't care.
Right. I'm actually amazed that, of all people, John Mellencamp hasn't put that into place at his shows.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he seems like he'd be the kind of guy, you can't drink at my shows.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Mine. The word's gotten out about a John Mellencamp show because everybody's just like, oh, everybody mind your business. Oh, geez. Here he comes.
He's looking at it. Don't say anything.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mellencamp. I'm sorry. Mr.
Don't look directly at me.
No, just say hello. Hello to John. Hello, Mr. Cougar. Oh my God, you doomed us all. That's it. I ain't playing for you. Call me Mr. Cougar. I'm out of here.
That's it. Tour's canceled. Show's over. Go home.
This guy here in the green shirt, second row. Yeah, it was all because of him. Kick his ass. He all can suck a chili dog. I'm out of here.
On that note, here's John Melton. No, we're not doing that.
Aaron Lewis retweets him. Right on, brother.
Hell no, brother. Hell no.
On tour this summer, it's John Mellencamp, Aaron Lewis, and Neil Young. It's called a Shut Up Tour.
God, I can only imagine. Here's Eddie Vedder at Solid State Radio. Talking Heads at your local alternative Solid State Radio, and all of this talk about bands splitting up or bands that will never, ever get back together. Well, like Talking Heads, for instance.
Yeah.
It really has got me driving me to drink. Now, apparently, drinking, it's seemingly the one thing that should be able to bridge the divide between pretty much anybody. And yeah. Apparently in politics, that's no different. So the Wall Street Journal posted its analysis of survey data from a consumer research firm that shows that many consumer brands and products have a consumer base that leans either Democratic or Republican, as you might guess.
Yeah.
And of course, whiskey and beer and things of that nature very much hone in on that.
So they're saying certain brands lean to the left or to the right?
Basically, okay. Yeah. Like, most champagne brands are shown to be favored more by Democrats, where macro lagers like Coors Banquet were shown more love by Republicans. As for mixed drinks, they're as few as Americans as Jack and Coke, another alleged go-to for conservative voters, which is unfortunate because I like Jack Daniels. Thank you
very
much.
Yeah, apparently we're conservative, and this whole time we did not know it.
The one weird one that actually landed smack in the middle of the aisle?
Yeah.
Gin and tonic.
That's because those drinkers are slowly dying off.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, I like a gin and tonic, but I'm good for like one or two a year. Usually when I'm at a stand-up comedy show, for some reason, I don't know, I feel more classy drinking that or a 7 and 7.
I need to be drinking something clear-looking at this point or else I feel like I'm an alcoholic.
No, I know exactly. When I taste a pine tree, you know, yeah, like, oh yeah, this is definitely alcohol. I'm not supposed to enjoy it, and that's fantastic. So, I mean, Bud Light's probably Democratic.
I'm pretty sure that I'd like to find the full list on this because I am kind of curious as to which. I imagine that in that particular case, that one does fall on that side.
Fireball's got to be Republican.
You think so?
Oh, all the
Fireball's just white trash, I feel.
The country people, they can't shut up about their candy-flavored whiskey.
You know, you could apply that with like the Old Smokies and things of that nature, but Fireball is just trash of any political stripe, really.
I don't mind it, but I mean, it's usually you're going to drink that on a pontoon. That pontoon is going to have a Let's Make America Great flag on it or something like that. Maybe I'm just generalizing, but
no, you definitely are just generalizing, but I'll allow it in this case.
I mean, White Claw's got to be Democrat, right?
I don't know. Like, again, liberal. Karens of any stripe. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because Karens can lean very far the other way.
Yeah, this is true. You bring up a good point. Because, I was like, live, laugh, and love. And I'm drinking White Claw. And oh, this illegal's got to get out of here. They're going to sex traffic outside this store.
I'm sitting, sitting at a public park drinking a White Claw. There's black people cooking over there. Let's call the cops.
Oh my God, we got
like, let's be honest, that very much could go the opposite direction.
So what else do you have more on that list? Because now you've piqued my interest.
Apparently the rest of it's behind a paywall, so that doesn't do me a whole lot of good.
Well, we'll go ahead and guess what the list is because we're not paying anything.
No, I'm not. Canada Dry Ginger Ale apparently pops up as a favorite of the left-leaning, as does do all iced teas.
Really? Really? The Southern people love
Pop leans the other way, like Coke, Pepsi, and Mountain Dew.
Okay, yeah, I get that. But iced teas? I mean, the Southern people can't shut up about their iced teas. They think it's like, the lifeblood of the
South,
whole.
Like, the entire Southern economy at this point is based on iced tea. Like,
that's
you would
right.
think that... That there would be more love for it, but apparently that is...
Can I offer you a beverage there, sir? Can I... water or iced tea?
Iced tea or Coke. These are your options.
Coke. What kind of Coke you want? Orange? Okay. Because everything's Coke.
Yeah, everything's a Coke, regardless of whether it's actually
root beer.
No, like that's, for whatever reason, is kind of a thing. Also, the fact that Canada Dry is somehow a favorite on the other side.
Of Canada.
Why do we have that bad of taste? Canada Dry is not that good.
Canada Dry is good. It's just
it is
a good mixer ginger ale, but if you're going to drink ginger ale, if you're really going to just go ahead and go feet first in ginger ale, it's Verner's all the way.
It's the only acceptable ginger ale there is.
Yeah, I mean, Schweppes, Canada Dry... These are good mixers, because I do like vodka and ginger ale.
I do, too, and unfortunately no one has, Fountain Pop that's, Verner's.
Yeah, well, because you gotta try it with Canada Dry or Schweppes, something that's not going to, because, I mean, Verner's, I mean, it's still pretty good stuff. But, I mean,
I'm fine with it. Verner's as a mixer. I mean, I have Verner's here at the house that we use as mixers.
Looking
for
at it right now.
You see me buying Canada Dry or Schweppes? Absolutely effing not. Kind of communist fascist do you take me
for? Because you also like to profile other people from other states. You're like, oh, no, I'm from Michigan. Oh, really? Here's a Verner's. And then that's how you weed those people out. Oh, my God. Is this ginger ale or is this pepper spray?
That's how you find out real quick that these are not my people.
Yes. Called you out.
Like, what are you doing drinking that nonsense? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
How dare you?
Now bring that slop into my house? Anyway, here's your more toxic event at your local alternative Solid State Radio. All right, set this up, this article title you just threw at me.
Yeah, Helene St. James, and she knows her stuff, for the Freep. The headline is, Steve Yzerman on the Detroit Red Wings, making playoffs would be another positive step.
It's the only possible positive step.
It's the only positive step, considering you were like a point away from making the playoffs last season. Ever since Steve Yzerman has taken the role as GM for your Detroit Red Wings, they have gone up and up and up. They haven't made the playoffs under Stevie's helm yet.
But you now have you're a half a step out away from that.
If you miss the playoffs, you have either plateaued or you have gone backwards. You have to make the playoffs, even if it's just a wild card spot and you get trounced by the likes of Boston or Tampa. You got to make the playoffs.
Fire everybody if that doesn't happen. Fire them all out of a cannon into the sun.
I mean, you got to kind of wonder if Newsy's the guy at this point, right?
At that point, if they don't make the playoffs, you do, I feel like, have to start asking questions about Uncle Fester, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are starting to call on Steve Yzerman's head, but I mean, you're not going to get rid of Steve.
They're never going to fire Steve Yzerman. That's not a realistic possibility.
Well, I mean, they're looking at, they're not looking at Raymond, how you doing? Raymond and Sider and stuff like that. They're looking at, the free agency that didn't pan out. Oh, but what about this player? They're not all going to be golden, dude.
About Petrie?
What about Petrie?
What
about Verana? What about, you know, it happens, bro. I mean,
hey, Verana worked out for a while. Petrie never worked out. And no one has ever been sufficiently able to explain to me Justin Hall. That's all I'm saying.
I forgot he existed. I really did.
So did everybody else.
I mean, Petrie, we still got him for another year. So let's.
That's unfortunate.
Let's see what happens. But the fact, it wasn't just like he underperformed. It was the fact that
he actually performed bad.
They let him keep underperforming. They kept him in the lineup, and where there, you know, there's some defensemen that you'd rather have on there.
You can't tell me Hall would have been any worse,
right? Exactly.
I refuse to believe that. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hours. We get set to get out of Dodge here on a Wednesday afternoon. Stick around, a full hour of local original, whatever the hell it is that Adam does at 6, coming up next on Sessions. See you tomorrow at 3.